are tuning in to a Miniatures Wargaming Union podcast.
For the Empire!
Check out MWUnion.com to join the wargaming community. Everybody, welcome back to the Drop Podcast. You're tuning in to episode 39 for Friday, February 22nd, 2008. I'm your host, Steve Boyce, and joining me in the Drop Podcast today is Stephen Casagrande.
Hey, hey!
And Chris Weigel.
Hey, everyone, I'm back.
Okay, guys, so as you may know, I am returned from my absence. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend last episode, but I left it in good hands, so, you know, the show didn't catch on fire, and, you know, all of the listeners died,
what I was kind of expecting, but... That would be an interesting thing to study, though, if it caught on fire.
Well, with you hosting, I'm pretty sure it was away, so, that's what I was kind of worried about, but I'm glad that it never actually happened. There's a weird science behind people, you know, spontaneously combust when listening to you.
Digital formats catching on fire.
Yeah, it's just weird. There's a weird theory behind it, but it can happen. I've seen it.
Alright.
Yeah.
The middle of your computer screen just starts burning a hole in it, and you start going, what the hell?
Yeah. So, I'm glad to be back. You know, thank you for holding up an episode without me, so.
No problem.
Yeah, it was a good listen, I might add. I did quite enjoy it, so. At least I know I can count on you guys not screwing things up when I'm gone. So, we actually have a good show for you this episode. Not much has been happening in the world of Games Workshop. Practically nothing happens. It's been very, very quiet. But regardless, we still got some topics to cover and for news that are still worth mentioning. And then we just got some good content. We are doing, obviously, a news from the front lines. We got a few news topics, sorry. You in the show, we're going to be talking about the Necron Warriors. Army List Workshop, we got a listener who sent in his Orc Army List, which we're going to see what we can do with. Chris today is going to be giving us a Vampire Counts Army Book review. The new book is finally out, and we're going to hear up on what the vampires have to offer. And we're going to catch up on some listener feedback, because I know you guys were unable to do it last episode due to time constraints, so we're kind of somewhat going to catch up. It's going to be a longer episode, so we won't be able to get them all, but we'll do it still. But first, we're going to roll off into news from the front lines. Okay, so the main news topic that's been going around and going on every forum and stuff like that is the new daemons. There's a new daemon. It's pronounced daemon, but it's the new book that's coming out. It's the 40k / fantasy book that allows you to do a demon army or incorporate the demons into your chaos army. And with that, not much details of the book have been released, but it's mainly the miniatures that we've been catching some pictures of, and we have some previews put up on our site. You can check out our front page. They're also on our forums as well, and we got quite a few units that they're showing off. First, we're looking at, obviously, is the new Bloodletters, which again, they're going back. Actually, almost all the miniatures are going back to the old classic style, especially the Bloodletters with their elongated head and the big old horns. Losing the corn axe and now going back to swords, but overall, they look very, very good. I do like the style of them, and the fact that they're plastic also helps very much. Also, there's the Beast of Nurgle. Just a big blob of crap with eyes, tongues, and claws, and maggots, you know.
It looks usual Nurgle. Things that you would expect from Nurgle.
Yeah, in, you know, good old Nurgle fashion.
It's like, take the Great Unclean One from Fortold and make him to, like, a worm-looking thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Gross.
The next thing is the Daemonettes. Now, though they are very nice sculpt-wise, I'm not a big fan of the new Daemonettes. Mainly because of their look. Like I said, they look nice sculpt-wise, but it's just something about them, it's not really catching me. I'm not sure if it's the whole 80s punk hairstyle or like the mohawks and the big wild hair or what it is. And kind of the one thing that that's kind of disappointing, and I know some of you might find funny, but it's the fact that you know, like the nudity on them, the Games Workshop seems to have censored them. In a way, before, you know, you've seen the, like, the topless Daemonettes. And you know what, like I said, as funny as that sounds, but that's the whole style of them. They're very, their style is, like, very seductive, that sort of thing. That's what they're supposed to do. And, it's kind of weird that, you know, they had that style before, and now it's kind of covered up. You know, like, we all, I guess, miss the Daemonettes with eight boobs for some reason. But anyway, it's kind of weird they kind of taken that approach. I personally think that the old miniatures looked fantastic style-wise, especially I like their heads on the old one much better. And I think just putting those into plastic would have probably been the proper route to go, but again, the new miniatures are welcome. And, you know, the customization options are there and they're nice, but it's just there's some little styles I'm not that big a fan of. I'm not sure why GW took that route, but, you know, we have to deal with it.
This reminds me, going back to a conversation we once had about whether certain models like the Daemonettes should be covered up because of children and stuff like that. I think it was on the old forums we talked about this at one point. And, you know, we came to the consensus that the game is designed for older people. It's not for kids. It's a very violent and gruesome game.
Well, true enough.
It's not like Demon Spawn with clothing and stuff like that. It's just the nature of it. And then of course, you know, they kind of made them look like dominatrix, punk rock.
Yeah.
People, and it doesn't suit it at all. It's
well, like, even though it's kind of like the slash style, but it's just for what the Daemonettes were before. Like I said, they had this, because the whole style of them is like seduce, you know, the men and then kill them in combat. That's
right.
The whole
thing. Now it kind of looks like it's like, oh yeah, they're kind of a little not like scary, like you'd be afraid of them, but it's kind of like not seductive scary. Like, because the whole, yeah, like as you said, the whole nature of them was that they were supposed to kind of seduce the men and then kind of kill them.
Well, yeah, that's how they gain their weakness, and that's I find kind of weird that they kind of cover that up. And I hope GW didn't do that for the sake of the younger players, like who really cares? You know, it's a miniature for crying out loud.
Yeah,
I kind of think now that I'm looking at them right now, they kind of remind me of the Dark Elf Witch Elves, just instead of having swords, they just have like crab claws. I don't know.
Yeah,
why.
They do have a dark elf, you know, hint to them.
That's just my opinion. It doesn't mean it's right. In fact, it's probably wrong.
No. I'm just saying it kind of has that feel to them. I guess because it's a whole like black, gray, and purple. Well, that's kind of sunnishy colors, but still. But anyways, moving on. The new Juggernaut of Khorne. Which I think looks fantastic. The old one was still good, but it had this, it felt very, you know, 40k-ish, like very pure machine type thing. And the new one, it seems kind of like living armor, almost. It's, I don't know, it just seems a little bit more natural. It's very nice looking, a little bit more posed and not so static like and stiff looking like before.
Before he kind of just looked like the man in the iron box, and he kind of stood there and kind of looked mechanically, just like stuff. But now it actually looks like there's actually something underneath all the heavy armor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I think it looks. I think it looks very fantastic.
I guess new Juggernauts. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's. I haven't heard any word if that's plastic or metal or not. Possibly metal, but. No word on that yet.
Hopefully plastic. They are moving to plastic on a lot of things, as I'm sure everybody knows. But
yeah. We'll see. We got some sort of hero or a lord from.
Looks like a herald.
For Khorne, yeah. Again, going back to like an older style. They all have like this really classic look to them, which I like. I like the old classic look of the old miniatures.
And in higher quality, too.
Yeah, boy, yeah, obviously of today's standards, but the old style. I don't know, what is that, like, below? Is that, like, a plague bearer? I'm not sure what that is. Not a plague bearer, but something weird. Some sort of Nurgle guy on a mound of Nurgle holding a hourglass, vomiting up maggots, which kind of look like Cheetos. Like he's got Cheetos all over his fat gut. It does. Like it looks like he's got a
Cheetos.
Cheese and Cheetos all over him.
It's odd looking. Yeah, kind of.
I know
like...
someone out there is going to paint it like that. I just have a feeling.
Who needs maggots when you have Cheetos?
Yeah. New plague bearers, but not new plague bearers, but because there's already recent plague bearers. So these are the champion musician and standard bearer. So I guess they didn't have that in the old stuff, or in the new look, at least. And what else we got? Was that about it, I think? Daemonettes. Yeah, that was... that's about it for now.
Also the corn hounds,
what was...
I don't know what the hell they are. I think they're hounds.
Look like hounds or whatnot, or some sort of demonic beast. Again, really going back... They almost look like the salamander from Lizardmen.
I was just thinking that. I was thinking like the salamander with that dinosaur from Jurassic Park that shoots that giant fan thing out of his neck.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah.
These could actually work for salamanders, too, if you wanted to, but just they have that look to them. And what is above that? Is that... Is this like a Chaos Champion on top of a...
I thought that was the herald you were talking about.
Oh, no, no, I'm talking... I'm talking the one,
oh, okay, you're talking
below,
the one
that,
below that,
below the beasts.
Okay, yeah, that seems more like a herald. Like the four I don't hearts. Know what the top one is.
The top one looks awesome, though. It's like some sort of Chaos Herald or a champion or something. Like, stepping on a mound of, like, dead bodies or skeletons or whatever. Looks really awesome. So, yeah, that's about what we have for the new Daemon stuff, again, to actually see the pictures. And we also have rules, rumored rules and stuff posted on our forum, so check out mwunion.com if you want to see the stuff for yourself. They're definitely worth a look, especially some nice miniatures there. I'm really impressed so far with the new Bloodletters. I think they're turning out really great. So it's good to see that new stuff is coming out like that. Okay, so Black Library has posted some new pre-orders today, or not today, but the other day, of some new books that are coming out. First one is the Helden Hammer Legend of Sigmar book, or sorry, book one of a trilogy that's coming out. It's basically the whole story of Sigmar Helden Hammer in his youth. So it's definitely something to be looking forward to.
It's like his pacifier.
Yeah, they also have a an extract that you can read on the Black Library website as well. So it's kind of neat to see the life of Sigmar, especially in his youth. That's good to see. What else we got? Some new pre-orders. Wolf's Honor. It's a new 40K book. It's in, well, based on the Space Wolves.
It's the next book in the Space Wolves series.
Yes, yep. Ancient Blood is another one coming out. It's, again, battle against the Empire. And we got the Dawn of War Omnibus, which is four books of the... Or, sorry, not four books. It's the three books, Dawn of War, Dawn of War Ascension, and Dawn of War Tempest. It's going to be in the Omnibus. We got a Legion poster. It's just some artwork from the book covers that they're putting on a poster that you can purchase. Again, the Held and Hammer series. Relentless. This is a book based on the Imperial Navy. Vampire Wars. The book one of the Von Karstein trilogy. An art book that's coming out. The art of Clinton Legley. He kind of does all the artwork for Black Library, and he's coming out with an art book. He does some really good work, too. I like his work. We also got the Held and Hammer poster. The poster based off the cover. The cover actually looks really nice. Sigmar smoking an orc in the face with his hammer. And also they have some new t-shirts up for pre-order. One with the Aquila, one with the Ultramarine logo, and we got an Inquisitor skull, as well as another t-shirt. So those are all available for pre-order. They're soon to be available on the Black Library site, so check out blacklibrary.com for further information.
Also, the Horus Heresy book, Legion, the next book in the series, not only is the poster on pre-order, but I'm looking now and the book's actually on pre-order too.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard much from Forge World, but there's a new Forge World update that is now available. And that is the Akurian tanks, pattern tanks, are now up for sale. There's three variants that you can buy. Basically, the Akurian pattern is just super heavy versions, super heavier versions of the Bane Blade tank. We got the Shadow Sword Akurian, the Stormblade Akurian, and the Storm Sword. So, you know, the Shadow Sword is the Bane Blade with the very, very long cannon on it. That is, you know, the Shadow Sword is basically a Titan Killer cannon. The Storm Blade is the Bane Blade with the very, very large plasma cannon on the front. And the Storm Sword has the short, stubbier little cannon on the front as well. Again, those are now available, so you can check those out on Forge World if you're looking to do some apocalypse battles or just want a very nice heavy tank to be taking. So, again, that wraps up for our news. Like I said, not much has been happening, just kind of filler stuff, but if you want to find out more information on all this stuff, check out our website, and we have it all on the front page. So, we're actually just going to keep moving on. We got a lot of content to cover. We're trying to make this a little bit shorter show. We're trying to not stretch out past an hour like we've been usually doing lately. So, right now, we're going to get right into Unit of the Show.
For me, Sons of Sigma! For the Empire!
Okay, so... For this episode, we're going to be talking about the Necron Warriors. So Steve is going to start us off and tell us a little bit more about the mystifying undead of the Necrons.
Dun, 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 dun. Anyways, alright guys, so Necron Warriors. So I'm just going to follow the same format as I usually do. I'm going to give you guys a quick summary, some pros and cons, and some quick tactica advice. And of course, I'll finish it off with some listener tips. So the history of the Necron Warriors. The skeletal warriors of the Necrons have laid undisturbed and dormant for millions of years, but all across the galaxies the horrors are now awakening. Long ago, the Necrons traded their living bodies to the starborn gods of the Cetan in exchange for metal shells and eternal solitude. Now legions of undying warriors are moving once more, seeking domination over all that live. Of course, you know, their story goes a little bit in more depth than just that. If you guys
there's a lot more, yeah, to the to Necron thing, but we don't have a 6-hour show to cover that.
Exactly. So if you guys want to learn more about it, go to like Wikipedia or read the Necron Codex.
Yeah.
All right. So some pros, obviously, they have their self repair that they get, so they can come back alive.
Which is a great ability because just the fact that you can revive fallen units, you know, it's really an ability of itself. It just, if someone smokes an entire unit, just roll, and you're bringing back something that died, and you're not getting that with any other army out there. So
it's annoying as hell.
Yeah, and it's quite amazing. And there's there's some abilities out there for other armies that may ignore a failed armor save, that sort of thing. But that's within the turn it gets wounded. But this you can bring back, you know, any turn. So just the fact that you can revive, you know, dead Necrons is absolutely fantastic. Mm. You're bringing back an army, and they're well worth their points.
So I'll be talking about some thoughts I have on their self-repair in a bit. But some other pros are that they have a good ballistic skill and armor save. Their ballistic skill is, I believe it's 5... 4.
Four.
I can't remember off the top, so I'm going to go 4.
Yes, 4.
So which is pretty good, and their save is 3+, which
practically a Space Marine right there.
Exactly. So same save as the Space Marines, which is one of the highest armor save for a base troop, and of course their ghost weapons, which are fairly strong to begin with in terms of strength and armor penetration.
Yep, and again, absolutely fantastic weapons. Probably one of the top 3 weapons, infantry weapons since 40K. Gauss, we'll talk about pronunciation later, weapons, I know, being the fact that, they're strength 4, AP5, range 24, so same strength as a bolter, but the ability to glance any vehicle, regardless of its armor value on a 6, is absolutely phenomenal. You know, having a basic troop have the ability to take down even the mightiest of tanks is
something. Yeah, if you focus enough fire on it.
Yeah. So that again with the it's up there with the bolter and the plasma rifle from the Tau.
Oh yeah, and so those are pretty much its pros. So moving on to its cons, of course, there's the rule that goes for the entire Necron army, the phase out rule, which can be a pain in the ass because once you drop below 75% of your army starting strength, then your army just kind of calls it quits and disappears on you.
Yep.
So it's insta lose.
Yeah.
So that can really suck. You better hope you get good self-repair rolls.
Yes.
There's also their low initiative. So in close combat, they will pretty much always be going last. Pretty much I say that because there are some things that'll make their enemy, of course, have lower initiative.
Yeah, but
depending on the weapons that they're fielding and stuff like that, but still, it's either going to be you're going last or you're going to be going at the same time, and they're not.
You're probably not ever going to be striking first in any consensus unless you're fighting something that's initiative 1. Just the fact of, you know, their initiative 2 kind of hurts them in close combat, unless you go for some of the even higher units, like the Pariahs with initiative 4. You know, initiative 4 is basically the standard initiative of the standard troop, and everything above that is, you know, special or HQ units, so
right,
they're very slow in combat.
Right, well, we're not dealing with the prize here today, but of course the prize have the higher initiative because they used to be humans, but
yeah,
like more recently used to be humans than Necron Warriors, so to speak. But also then there's also their high point cost.
Yeah, so we're looking at 18 points per... No, I'm not supposed to be saying that, but 18 points per warrior. Again, you're looking at... It's not too bad, but you're looking at 15... I know I'm not allowed to be saying this, but 15 points per Marine. So just the 3-point difference, but look what you're getting in the trade-off. You know, though you are getting the lower initiative to them, they're not a close combat army at all. but they do have units that are good in it, they make up for firepower and other abilities such as the, you know, we'll be back rule. And that on its own, I think, is definitely worth its point value. So,
it's true.
This is, you're just going to be in lesser numbers than you would, say, a Guard's army or an Eldar army or something with the lesser point costs.
All right, and so now I'm going to move on to some quick tactica that's, that we thought up before the show started. So I'm just going to read this off to you guys. A Necron army can be very powerful if done right, though costly point-wise, they make up for this in their abilities and firepower. The main problem with Necrons is the phase-out rule. This is where you need to build your force. With Necrons, you have to mass in troops. Without them, it makes your chances of phase-out even greater. In this case, the more the merrier. Fantastic thing about Necrons is their weapons. Any Necron unit has the ability to destroy vehicles, even armor 14 ones. Which, of course, as we already discussed, is a great thing.
Yep.
The will be back rule, which is the self-repair rule that we were talking about earlier, resurrects lost Necron warriors without giving your army a second chance, which is such an incredible ability.
Yeah.
Of course, I'd like to just hit up on some of the more weaknesses, not necessarily weaknesses to this rule, but some things that you might want to keep in mind. There's a thing that we tried, me and my friends, back a few years ago now. One of my friends was playing Space Marines, and one of my friends was playing Necrons. They both had sizable forces, and so during one day, they decided to go against each other, right? Now, my friend who was playing Space Marines thought about this ahead of time, actually, and he went out and got a Devastator squad with four plasma cannons.
And where this is going.
And the plasma cannons alone, I believe, destroyed well over half the Necron army.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing. It was a massacre. Like the Devastator squad was taking out entire squads of Necrons every turn. Like not only since because the problem with the will be back rule is that it's great, you know, but they had to of course put some limitations on it, or else then it would become way too overpowered. But the limitation is that if it's an instant kill attack,
yep.
then you don't get to come back. So the thing is that with armor piercing two plasma cannons, you're going to be just vaporized.
That's the problem with the will be back rule is that you can revive your units in certain cases. Yeah, nothing that instant kill such as double your strength or anything armor piercing or power weapons. They're useless against that, because that's outright killing a Necron, but, you know, just a few bolter shots or something to the chest, you know, it'll self-repair and come back to life.
Because if you think about it, with a plasma cannon, you're basically being vaporized. You can't really,
You're just turning into a really blob of metal.
you kind of got melted down, and, yeah
there's
nothing left to repair.
And plasma cannons are nasty on their own. Range 36, strength 72 blasts. Like, you can't get more deadly for that, especially for a troop carried weapon.
I know. I
love the
plasma cannons. And of course, Dark Angels can bring plasma cannons in their tactical squad. So
we actually talked about this a few episodes ago when we talked about the Space Marine Tactical Squad, because any army can now do that in the new Space Marine Codex. Yeah, so it kind of debunked the Dark Angels in their rule, which really sucks.
I thought they could only take plasma guns. I don't think they could take plasma cannons, so can they?
No, they can have cannons. I even grabbed my book right here. I'll double check.
I think
the only heavy weapons they could have is heavy bolters and missile launchers, I thought.
Nope, right here. Let's see. One Space Marine can be armed with a weapon from the following list: heavy bolter, missile launcher, multi-melta, las cannon, or plasma cannon.
There we go.
Yep.
Reference. All right. Well, that's what I get for not having the latest Space Marine Codex.
Faux shame.
I'm sorry. I'm poor.
No excuse.
Anyways, moving on to the last segment of this is the listener tips. Alright, so Shannon Caldwell writes, I think I said his name right, or her name?
Her name, I think. Shannon's a female name. Sorry if you're male. I think that's female.
Okay.
That's cool.
Anyways, moving on. something I want to bring up that people undermine rather often, and that is Scarab Swarms. All right. This unit is cheap for what you get. A 3-wound model with 3 attacks, fast moving, and add in the ability for destruction fields to damage vehicles. Best way is to deep strike in the swarms behind enemy tanks. For example, take 9 swarms, deep strike behind an enemy tank, and assault. Each swarm gets 3 attacks, 4 on the charge, bringing you to 36 attacks, just needing 6 to glance. I'll let you imagine the rest.
Yeah. So, this is quite a surprising email that I got, because this is something that, personally, I do. I like doing this ability, and when I saw, I believe she's female, so when she did this, this is something I do exactly. So, and it is such a fantastic tactic, and it works almost every single time that I do it. The odd time is that I'm a deep strike off to a location which I didn't want to go to, but the thing about Scarabs is this, yeah, they're so expensive. It's just, you get them, they're not too expensive, but the fact that you're getting 3 wounds per model, they're great, you know, meat shields if you just want to throw them out, or to lock stronger units in combat, because they're not going to take them out in the first turn because of the 3 wounds each. They're a little bit cheaper, and you can get tons of them, and for the few points, I think it's like 6 points for disruption fields, adds the ability to glance a vehicle on a 6, on a roll of 6. And she brings up a point by, you know, assaulting into combat, getting your 36 attack, like, well, that's with just 9 swarms. You can have more than that, just, you know, having your 9 swarms just assault in, getting your 36 attacks. Out of those 36 dice, you know, you're bound to at least get a few sixes out of that. Unless you're
the worst roller in
the world and you're getting solid ones, but no, you're most likely to get a few sixes out of that, and then you take those sixes, roll them again on the glancing table, and see what you get on that, and you're bound to get something, and you have a 1 in 6 chance of getting a vehicle destroyed. So I think it's an absolutely fantastic tactic. Their Scarabs are very fast-moving, 12-inch movement range, because they are fast units. And then, yeah, again, they can deep strike, so it's really, really awesome. And I really suggest any Necron player out there that there's a lot of... I know there's a lot of people out there that dislike the Scarabs, and I think they're completely wrong, because they are a very fantastic unit. I'm a Necron player myself, so when I can, depending on the game, I like to take as many Scarabs as I can. They are very, very helpful. And then just after that, just again with a 12-inch movement range and then 6-inch assault, usually people keep their tanks close together. You pretty much just move into the next tank and munch away on that. So again, thank you, Shannon. That is a absolutely fantastic tactic. And I like to see that someone out there has the same idea that I do.
All right, guys.
Yeah, so it's very interesting.
All right, so next episode we'll be discussing the Fantasy Vampire Count Graveguard. So if you have any tips or tricks on this unit, send them in to mwunion@gmail.com.
Yep. So this is, in light of the new Vampire Count Army book that's coming out, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the vampires. Okay, so now we're going to be moving on to our next segment of the show, and that is the Army List Workshop. All right, so we got an Army List here from Selby Planks. Sorry if I pronounced your name wrong. He sends in his 1,978-point 40K Orc Army List. He writes, "Hey guys, I just started listening to your podcast. It's interesting to hear a podcast for Warhammer. Anyways, I figure to see what you guys have to say about my new orc list. I know it's quite different from what's normal, but that's the point. I don't need no shock attack gun or ludas to win. As you can see, it's quite a fast list. I know my major weaknesses is anti-tank, so any opinions would be good. Cheers." Alright, so I'm just going to read down his army list. So I'll let you know that I will also post his army list on our forums, so this will also be up for more critique. For his HQ, he has a war boss with a big choppa, heavy armor, and an attack squig for 85 points. Troops, he has 10 art boys, including Nob with Uj Choppa for 115 points. With the art boys, he has a truck with Grot Riggers, red paint job, and extra armor for 55 points. He has 20 Slugga Boys, two big shooters, including Nob with Power Claw for 165. 19 boys with one rocket launcher, including a Nob and a Power Claw for 164 points. Elites, he has a Nob squad, 8 Nobs with heavy armor, 1 Wog banner, 1 Power Claw, 4 Uj Choppas, and Cyborg bodies. And he has 1 Pain Boy with Grot Orderlies, Cyborg body for 350 points. And all that, he has a truck with armor plates, Grot's Wrecking Ball, and red paint job for 65 points. Fast attack, he has two squads of 16 Storm Boys, each with a Nob and a Power Claw, each are 227 points. He's also got 6 War Bikers, including a Nob with a Power Claw for 185. And he has, for his heavy support, he has a Battle Wagon with red paint job, Armor Plates, Stick Chukka, 4 Big Looters, Death Ruler, and Grots for 150. And a second Battle Wagon with Armor Plates, Kill Cannon, Art Case, Death Ruler, Grots, Zap Gun for 200 points, bring us to a total of 1987. So again, like I said, in case you didn't catch this all, this will be posted on our forums, and then you guys can check it out from there, and then post your opinions. And what you liked, disliked, or what you'd be doing differently. But right now, we're just kind of give our opinion to the list. So, according to what he says, he doesn't want a shock attack gun. So, no mech boy there. Or Ludas. So, he doesn't want either of those. Personally, I would recommend the shock attack gun on a big mech, on a mech boy, because that thing is just outright disgusting in its power. It's very, very good. Also, Ludus would be very nice. Thing that I would have done differently is possibly kill off one of the battle wagons. You already have two listed. I'd probably take out the one that's that you have for 150 with a red paint job, armor, stick chukka, 4 big shooters, and death roller grots. And replace that with either the Death Dread, or having a unit of Killicans. And the thing that you are missing, and I know you're already aware of that, is that you're missing anti-vehicle weapons in your army. So I'm not going to say something else because that's what Chris has in mind, but for the one thing, I would definitely go with Death Dread. You can, it has the ability, you can throw on a rocket launcher or a custom mega blaster. Those are some, they're a little bit shorter range, around the 24-inch range, but they are, they are very powerful, especially with the lower AP as well. And then same thing with the killer cans, throw on a rocket launcher or a custom mega blaster. And the fact that you can have 1 to 3 of them, so
you also. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, so that'd probably be one thing I would do, and just the fact that it gives you something also very strong, if you do get assaulted in combat, something hard hitting, against other dreadnoughts as well.
I was just gonna say that it will probably actually save you points too.
Yeah, and the fact
I might save you. 10-20 points, you can add a couple more boys or whatnot.
Yeah, and the fact that you're not at a 2,000 yet, it'd be nice just to round off your army list to get to 2,000 instead of doing 1987. You're looking at, I'm not going to say the point cost or anything, but you're you're looking just over 100 points or so for three killer cans, just under 100 for Def Dread. So again, with that, you're getting a little bit more, and plus it gives you more room if you want to add in some more war bikers, like you have. You said you want something a bit faster. Include some more war bikers, or I'm not sure how the points are going to work up, but maybe even another squad of Storm Boys. So, yeah. Chris, what do you think?
I like your idea of getting rid of one of the battle wagons. I like the, but also, if you know your problems against tanks, I would say why not get rid of the Knob Squad and put in Tank Busters. I mean,
yep.
Their job is right in their name. They bust up tanks. I mean, I don't know if you have something personal against them, but I don't know. They're pretty heavily equipped too. They're not slacking. I mean, they do walk around with rocket hammer things, and
yeah,
they look like they have fun with their job. So I don't know. That's the only thing I can really think of. Besides, I'd say it's a very quick list. Will really do a lot of damage. The only thing I can really think of is instead of maybe the Knobs, maybe put into the Tank Busters.
One more thing that you can also do as well is that if you, for example, if you want to get, I like the whole concept of the Killer Cans. I think Killer Cans are awesome. So if you want to take out the Battle Wagon, include three Killer Cans, and if you also want, throw in some big guns. I'm not sure how the points are going to work. You could possibly do one to two big guns. One to two killer cans. But again, throwing some big guns, you got some. They automatically come with cannons, but zap guns are also very nice, and lavas are also very nice as well. So they're very nice long-range hard-hitting weapons, so definitely recommend those as well. Again, like Chris was saying, Tank Busters, pretty much a given. That's something that I think you should really have. The Knobs are nice. Maybe even just get rid of the Knob Squad completely, and then have you can have Knobs with the War Bus, correct? Or he can be joined by Knobs. Just want to double check that.
Yeah, I think
so.
You'd have to double check that. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, for some reason, I just think that the Knobs, I don't know if they're really worth it, especially if you're looking for something to really take on tanks. Put a bunch of Tank Busters in a war truck.
Yeah, definitely.
Drive them up there and have them start bashing on everything. And if you can't get to the tanks, they'll take out I'm pretty sure they could probably take out a big unit character relatively easy too.
Yeah.
It's just my opinion.
One thing that also would also be nice as well is throw on. I would say get rid of, for the war boss, get rid of the attack squig, get rid of the heavy armor, throw on mega armor, and then if you want to get him in combat really fast, or like, oh sorry, with the war boss, there's also the ability, the big boss allows you to take mega knobs or knobs. A mob, take them as a troop choice, so you could also do that instead. Throw in heavy armor, take a knob, a small knob squad, maybe like what's the minimum? I gotta check. Three knobs if you want. Attach them with the war boss, and then if you want, throw that in a truck. If you want to get him fast in the combat, because the mega armor would slow him down. Heavy armor is still good, but you know, a war boss is someone that wants to be in combat, that wants to smash in skulls. So I think you know, giving them just a little bit tougher armor save would just give them that a little bit more oomph in combat.
Also, another thing I'm just thinking of is if you get rid of one of the who's more, it's right here. Battle wagons, that's it. Maybe some flash kits.
Yeah, true.
I understand that you're trying to get a really fast, really into combat army, but you really have absolutely no shooting whatsoever. I think the Slugga boys are really the two big shooters. That's really the only thing you got, and the one rocket. Besides that, there's not much really shooting going on there. So if you want to, maybe give yourself a little bit more cover and fire with the Slugga Flash kits.
Yeah, that's true. Steve, you got any opinion on this, or?
Fill out your army list with more points. Make, don't settle with just like 30 points under or whatever it was. 10 points under, 20 points
yeah,
under.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're saying. Just, you got to round it off to the 2,000. Like, I don't like helps. Personally when people do that. Doing a battle of 1987, and then either you're compromising for 1900 or 1500, round it off to 2,000. It's always nice just to round off your army list. It's also kind of easier to work with, too, that way.
Make life easy.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So, again, this is just our opinion, but we're going to also be posting this on our forum. We want to hear from you guys. See what you guys think on how you would change up the army list. I would really love if you took a mech boy and threw in a shock attack gun. That would really be nice. It'd be one thing I would love to put in. But you don't want it, so I've got to respect your wishes.
I think the reason he doesn't want it is the fact that probably every single orc player out there ran out and bought one.
But it's so good, though. That's the thing. Like, why?
Yeah, but I think he's right in trying to prove that you don't need a big weapon to really
true
do
enough
every single thing. For
that's
you.
The thing with
so
I think
he's
kind of
right in that.
Yeah,
yeah. Everyone takes Ludus, everyone takes a shock attack gun. I think he's right in trying to prove everyone wrong. Because I was at the hobby shop last week, and this orc player is like, there's no way. You can't. If you have a shock attack gun, Ludus, and a what's it called? A looted vehicle, you can't lose. And I'm thinking,
of course you can.
Well, the looted vehicle got nerfed completely. And, okay, yeah, the other two are really powerful, but there's other ways around it. I like the fact that he's trying to go around it and trying to step outside the norm.
True enough. So, that's actually good to hear. Like, a lot of people do always go for the standard big things. I know, like, pretty much every single orc army had, before the new codex had a looted Lehman Russ.
Oh yeah, everybody used that.
Everyone had a looted Lehman Russ tank. Seen so many, the very odd ones. Very few of them had a basilisk. I like the basilisk myself, but
yeah, that was probably the two most popular. Everyone kind of bypassed the predators or the land raiders.
Oh yeah, they just went
bypassing those. Went for the boom.
An Earthshaker cannon that pretty much goes across any tabletop.
Or a Land Raider.
Or a battle cannon that almost goes across any tabletop.
And will blow the living snot out of everyone.
That's a strong ordnance blast. Yeah, I can see why they would want to take it. So, we're going to be posting, again, like I said, we're going to be posting our forums. Check out mwunion.com. Check out our forums we posted there. And help out Selby with his army list. Okay, so now we're going to be moving on to something. This is where Chris comes in. We're going to be talking, or actually he's going to be talking about the new Vampire Count's Army book, which just came out, and he just picked up with his lovely new Spearhead Force. And he's going to give us a review of the new Vampire Count book.
All right, well, the Vampire Count Army book just came out. I got it in my Spearhead. I got it the day before it actually came out, so I got it on Wednesday. I came home from vacation. Spearhead was sitting on my front stoop. I was like, yes! A reason for me to come home from vacation. Anyway. I've been looking through it the last 2 days and working on my army list. Unsuccessfully working on my army list because there's just so many great things. But basically, the review is going to be, I'm going to break it down to 5 sections. There's going to be army list, war gear, fluff, hobby, layout. And at the end, I'm going to list the pros and cons. If you don't remember what I did with the Orc Codex originally, we had a similar format. Anyway, the army list has a couple of new units, a couple of rearranging of the new units. You have the Blood Knights that are extremely powerful, the Vargolf, which is just absolute beast. just causes so much damage and so much pain, and it's a really pretty model. There's the Vampire Count Magic list got revamped, and they have some really powerful spells in there. The only downside to those spells is the fact that 4 out of the 6 spells, you need an 8+ to cast. I think 2 of them is 8+ to cast, and the other 2 are 12+ to cast. So it might come... The problem with that is you might have a problem actually being able to cast them, but if you do cast them, they're going to cause a ton of damage. They got rid of the bloodlines completely. Well, not completely, as there is now the new Vampiric Power system, which basically it gives you a list of talents, kind of, that you can customize your heroes or lord with. If you have a vampire hero, he gets 50 points of bloodline vampiric powers and 50 points of war gear, so he gets a total of 100. So he's a little bit. The reason for this is the vampire count. The Vampire Lord and Vampires, they don't have many customization options, so you really can't add, like, a great weapon, or you can't just simply just throw a shield on them. They really just come straight up with a hand weapon, they're wizards. But besides that, they really don't have anything, so it's kind of like their way of adding different, of really being able to customize them, which is nice. New items, new weapons, some really powerful ones. Some of them seem relatively useful. Some of them don't seem as useful as others. From my knowledge, the invocation of Nekek is pretty much unchanged. The only disadvantage I see with it is you can heal all undead units, which is useful because now every single unit in the army is undead, which means every single unit causes fear. The problem I see with it is the fact that you can't create new units with it, and you also can't increase a unit beyond its original starting size unless you take a bloodline power, and only the vampire can cast it and expand a unit beyond their starting. But besides that, they can only go up to their regular unit size. Which is really good anyway. I mean, also another disadvantage to it is the fact that if you try to heal an ethereal unit or a vampire, the maximum amount of wounds you can heal is 1 per turn. So instead of being able to heal like D6 and healing like 4 wounds on your vampire, you can only heal 1 at a time. So also the vampires and the special characters, the point costs are absolutely insane. I mean, the hero level vampire is 100 points standard for just a hand weapon and a first level wizard. The vampire lord is 205 points without any upgrades. I know I shouldn't say that. But yeah, they're expensive. So yeah, you gotta watch out for that when making your army list. Then again, the rest of the army list is very inexpensive, so. Anyway, war gear. Vampire powers can really give you a very deep level of customization to your vampire to make them really play the way you want them to play. There's no bloodlines anymore, so it's not like, okay, I want to play Von Karstein or I want to play Strigoi and then base my style around that. You really can just take a generic. You take your generic vampire, and if you still want to play a, say you want to play like a blood dragon kind of style, there is a group of vampiric powers that seem more blood dragon than the others. So you still have that option to make them similar to the original bloodlines, but not exactly. And you can also mix and match power. So if you want, you can give one thing that seems like a Karstein power, and another one that seemed more like a Blood Dragon power, you can put them both on the same guy, and it's completely fine. So it really adds a different level of customization. Also, an advantage to it is no vampiric power is over 50 points. So even if you're playing a hero, you can pick
either one of the powers at 50 points, or you can mix and match to add more. Choice is really up to yours. They have some really, like one of the 50-point powers is a move called Red Fury, which seems like would have been the original Blood Dragon power, which is every time you cause an unsaved wound on an enemy, you then, say you cause two wounds on an enemy, you then get two extra attacks. But then it doesn't, you can't use Red Fury on a Red Fury attack, otherwise you'd just be like insane, you just keep rolling for about an hour every, just straight up attacks, so yeah. Moving on to the fluff now. Extensive amount of fluff. There is more fluff in this book than I think any other whatsoever. Every unit has a page or two devoted to it. In my opinion, besides the army list, this is easily the best part of the book. There's fluff on the lords, there's fluff on Slovenia, major events, stuff like that, so that's really cool. The hobby section, there really is no hobby section. It's severely lacking. There's no painting tips. They really just give you a couple of examples of paint schemes and a sample 2,228-point army list. Besides that, that's really about it. The layout of the book is pretty basic. There's, probably close to 80% of the book is fluff. So you will get a lot of that. There's very little hobby. Then it goes to vampiric powers, war gear, army list, and then the reference sheet. The army list is actually in the way back of the book, with the reference sheet. It actually goes army list, and then the very last page is the reference sheet. So the book is about 96 pages long, I think. So, yeah, anyway, quick summary, the pros. There is a ton amount of fluff, so if you're really into the background of an army, and you really use a background of the army to decide what you're going to play, vampire accounts have a ton, more than I'd say most of the other army books out there. I think one of the pros also is the new vampiric powers, also a ton of new war gear. It's really simple to follow. The book's very simple layout, very simple to follow. Some of the new units are very powerful. Also, Vlad von Karstein, in my opinion, probably could take on Archon in a fight easy, the Lord of the End of Time from Chaos. I really think that it'd be one hell of a slugfest in between the two, and I really think von Karstein could take him on pretty good. The magic is absolutely awesome. The cons of the army, though, are the heroes and lords are a ton of points. The cheapest hero is a necromancer at 55 points, which is really cheap, but that's a level 1 necromancer, one spell, no items, and there's really no cheap items in the entire book. And the cheapest lord is the vampire lord at 205 points without any upgrades. So, yeah, so if you're playing a 2,000-point list, you are really going to suck up a lot of points on your lord.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, yeah. The hobby section, there's almost nothing there, so there's very little to work with, very little. I mean, it gives you some paint schemes idea, but it's nothing really compared to some of the other books.
It's disappointing. Usually yeah, that's a big thing, especially for new players. You know, they need a hobby section. It's good even for, you know, veterans alike. It's nice to see different schemes and ideas, but
having it's usually one of my favorite sections of those books, just looking at like their suggestions for like what models to take and
yeah, not like when they do like terrain and stuff like that, stuff that's featured for that army. It's kind of disappointing, but still.
I mean, most of the army books will tell you, like, okay, well, you can give them this paint style by using this color, and this color. It doesn't really do that. It kind of just shows the paint scheme, but doesn't really tell you how to actually get the paint scheme. It doesn't really show you it doesn't tell you the colors involved, techniques involved, stuff like that, like some of the other army books. Like the previous rulebook for Vampire Count, once your general goes down, your army is falling fast. you have to take a leadership, and by every, I mean, I think some of the units have a leadership like 2. So if you roll your leadership test when you're every turn after your general dies, and if he when he dies, you kind of sit there, and for every point you lose by that many drops from what that, I don't know. And I think one of the cons for the older players, older vampire count players, previous players, the fact that there is no bloodline system. But that is the review of the Vampire Count's army book.
Fantastic. That was very good. Definitely very good. So it's actually, I would say, a big improvement, especially for Vampire Count. They really needed the update. It's actually one of the armies that we've been, if you're a long-time listener to the show, you know that we've been kind of pushing the Vampire Counts for some time now, that and the Dark Elves, towards an update. So it's actually really good to see that, you know, that GW listened and actually recognized that they need an update.
Yeah, some all of our episodes of us going, they've got to be next.
And there's still some things that they can still improve on. Some of the miniatures are still the old ones, opposed to the ethereal
like the
hosts.
Necromancers.
Oh yeah, those crap. I'm not. I'll find out in a second what the unit's called.
The wraiths, the banshees.
Yeah, sorry, spirit hosts, fellbats. Oh my god, just do the fellbats. That's probably one of my most hated models from GW. They just they look like flying pigs. They look horrible.
Okay, yeah, the heads do look like pigs.
I mean, like, come on, just look at them.
Even,
like,
even the bat swarm, some of the heads, I'm like, that doesn't... That's a bat?
I know.
I know it has a bat body, but that doesn't... Looks more like a horse head than it does a bat.
Yeah, the bats, they look so... The fell bats, they look so, like, stiff, and they have, like, these huge heads with big nostrils and stuff. I don't know, they just look really awkward. Yeah, the spirit hosts, still decent, but they could definitely use an upgrade. Black coach, I think, is fine. That doesn't really need the upgrade. Though I think the horses from the Blood Knights would be absolutely fantastic to have in front of the black coach. That'd definitely be a nice conversion to do that. I think the Blood Knights look absolutely fantastic. Vargoff looks stunning as well.
It's annoying to build, though.
I bet.
It's because it's all metal, and it's really awkward because the legs only fit one way, a certain way, one way, and
yeah.
You put him on, then you put that one arm that holds him up, and then he's back on his heels, and then the other arm just flails out there, so you have to really pin it against something to actually get it to the glue to stay dry long enough. So it can be annoying, but it's really pretty.
Bat swarms need an update as well. They look weird.
They need an update. They look weird.
They look weird. Update them. Corpse cart, which, yeah, absolutely fantastic. And a completely plastic as well. Stunning piece of plastic miniature. And then we're just getting to the weird stuff now, like the Right Lord. I mean, has that ever seen an update? That's probably
That actually changed his name. It's no longer Right Lord, it's Right King.
Right King now?
Yeah, because I guess...
White King, my mistake.
Yeah, White
King. So, when I say Right, my bad.
I don't know. But,
But yeah, it has. Hello, old.
I guess they figured out that if it's a hero choice, it shouldn't be... it shouldn't have the word Lord in its name.
Yeah. So but man, that model is, classic, I would say.
That
Necromancers is still okay, but yeah, again, awesome to see that the vampires are back, and I know that, you know, people are starting to recognize them again. I know you've definitely picked up your spearhead of that, so, you know, it's nice to see that, that they're back in action. And again, definitely good review, good to see, a good army book for them at least. I've heard some disappointing ones recently, but All right, so we're just finally getting to our last section. We're going to go through this one rather quickly. We're already into a long show. So we're on to our listener feedback. We're just going to make up for some questions that didn't make it to last episode. So first off, we got one from one of our users on the forum. I think, sorry if I pronounced this wrong, it's Chameleon76. So, hey guys, great podcast. I've been listening to them in order from number one, I'm up to 33, and I've noticed that you guys seem to have confusion about how the Dark Elf ship can function in the capital in war. Essentially, the Black Ark is a giant floating island. In the old Man of War rules, it was explained that the arcs are similar to icebergs, and that the part of the surface that you see, the part that you see on the surface is only a small part of its mass. The arcs are barely mentioned in the current, and it's most likely a joke to say army book. There is a fluff story where captured slaves speak of being taken down a seemingly endless spiral staircase in the arc's depth. These things are essentially floating cities. If this has been covered in an episode, I haven't got to it. Please discard this. I just wanted to get down while I was thinking about it. Hope this helps. Keep up the awesome work. Yeah, so this is something that is in Warhammer Online, because we were kind of talking about there's no actual like Dark Elf city. All their cities are based on boats. So he was making it clear to us. I actually wasn't aware of that before, so it's actually really cool to know that. Yeah, they're kind of like an iceberg where you see the top, but beneath is a huge, huge piece. So yeah, the ships are just the top piece, and there's like a whole city basically underneath.
Yeah, I remember me criticizing it, saying, well, if you take over a ship, they just end another ship.
Yeah, but considering how big, if that's the case and how big it is.
Yeah, if it's that big, then I completely take back my comment in episode, God knows what.
Episode X, whatever you said, yeah. you want to read off the next one?
Yeah, sure. This is from Taipan. I hope I pronounced that right. Taipan.
Yeah.
It says, for the next show, can I suggest that the unit analysis section be done for the Thousand Suns? They're an interesting unit, and the recent changes to their rules have made them a different beast. You guys should probably get round to discussing all cult troops, because they add distinct advantages and play differently to Chaos Space Marines.
Yep. We will eventually get to them. For the end of the show, we are going to cover every single unit of 40k in fantasy. It's just when we're going to get to them is we don't know yet. We're kind of just going down our own sort of list. We will eventually get to Chaos, and when we do get to the cult stuff, we will... I don't know how we're going to do it. We may just do all the four cult Marines in a single show. We'll see. But it will be covered sometime. We like to flip between 40k and fantasy, so it may be a while before we get to it, but you know, it'll probably be in the 50s or something. We'll get to it. Steve, you want to ask the next one?
Sure. All right, guys. So from Sanchez on our forums, he sends to us, could you try an experimental new cast type thing? The Steve as newsman, and then he would say something like, and now joining us from Orbit is, and make it like a YouTube video.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll kind of just, I guess, talk about this. So I'm assuming that what you mean when you say YouTube video, like actual with like video and stuff like that, that would kind of need us, like even if it was just me and Steve, where we live in the same province, we still live like 3 hours so away from each other. So, yeah, it would be kind of like a little difficult.
Yeah. the idea has crossed my mind though. A long time ago, I've always wanted to do something like this. Not to say it's never going to happen. Maybe someday. Just not now. But I always wanted to. Instead of doing a podcast, like it would be like a video podcast where we would actually have like a little wargaming studio in one of our places where you know, it'd be like a nice little a show where we can actually show off miniatures and that sort of thing. So, or do live battles. It's something that's always somewhere in the back of my mind, you know, just sitting there until we can actually have the opportunity to do it. Not sure if it'll ever happen, but yeah, we'll find out. Just stay tuned to the site. It'll probably be a few years, but
see, the two Steves live in the same territory, but I live in a totally different country, so
that's the province, not a territory. No, it's no, not. Don't you know Canada at all?
We have territories.
That's why I live in America.
Yeah, yeah. You're American, clearly. Yeah. In case you guys don't know, I know some of you have been staying that. I think that we're all from the U.S. No, we're all kind of mixed. Myself, Steve, and Gillies, who comes on the show once in a while. He's also going to be doing the role playing show. We're from Canada. We're actually all from Ontario. So, and Chris and Tim. Chris and Tim are from the U.S., so they're our southern brothers down below. And then, of course, Jeff, all the way down under in Australia. So, yeah, bro.
Don't ever try to do an accent.
I'll never try. I'm sorry for insulting your people. Again. Like, just straight up like that.
That is more than a straight up insult.
That's why I'm afraid to be on Podhammer. I just have that thing where I have that problem where if someone talks to me with an accent, I'll accidentally pick up the accent and respond back to them. Like, I have that at work. Someone will talk to me in an accent, especially like a British accent, and I'll accidentally just start speaking back to them like that. It's embarrassing. It's funny as hell. And I'll try to correct myself like it never happened.
All right, whatever. Moving on.
When will you guys start reviewing Fantasy Army List for the workshop?
I have the best answer to this. The best Marco. Answer is really short. Yes, for Marco, sorry.
For Marco.
When somebody gives us one.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we're discussing that before the show. We came up that there was only one answer to that question.
Yeah.
When someone decides to
send us a Fantasy Army List. My inbox is filled from people sending in army lists. Zero of them are fantasy. Thank you for liking our 40K workshops, but, you know, we can also do fantasy. If you have a fantasy army list, be sure to send it into mwunion@gmail.com.
Send in a fantasy one. We're getting tired of
fantasy army lists. Be requested. I know there's some fantasy players out there that are probably kind of ticked off that all we do is 40K army lists. Yeah, we can do fantasy ones as well. It's just for us to do that, we need people to send them in.
If we have to, I'll give them my vampire count list.
Yeah, we'll start just reviewing our own list then, if that's the case. Next question, Chris.
Greetings, brethren. Any details yet on Games Day from David Thompson?
David Thompson, you wrote to us already asking this question, and no, we're not telling you nothing.
We have stuff in the works, but we can't tell
actually,
you guys.
We can tell you about Games Day. Of course we can.
No, not the plans that
Canada.
We have, Chris. Any details yet on Games Day?
Yeah, Games Day is going to be Saturday, June 21st, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Queen Elizabeth Building, Exhibition Place, 100 Prince Boulevard, Toronto, Ontario. In 119 days, 17 hours, 9 minutes, and 43 seconds. There's your details.
40 seconds. 39.
38, 37, 36.
Also, fast.
Also, go. You can just go to your GW site that represents your country and check out your local Games Days.
Yes, we're just assuming that he's talking about the Toronto one because A, that's the one we're going to, and B, that's the next one that's coming up. On 32?
Yes, know, and, first and one, C, first he wrote us before asking what we're doing, so I'm assuming that's what he wants to know. And no, we're not telling you yet.
Yeah. Well. That's,
when we know, you will know. Well, we already know, but you're not going to know. Not yet, but you will find out soon.
And by soon, we mean not soon at all. But eventually.
Eventually. It's like the whole season of Spaceballs.
Assuming this year I have a ride, like last year.
I don't know. We'll find out. I'll even have to pick you up if that's the case.
Exactly.
Yes.
We'll find a way.
Yes.
We'll find a way.
Okay, FC, do you want to read off the last question for us?
I can. All right. This is from Davey C.
Davey C?
Davey C? All right. Okay, guys, I have a serious problem that only you guys can help me with. Screw them. What the hell?
All right. I think he's medical.
Anyways. All right, anyways, I have a serious problem that you guys can help me with. Screw the medical system. I need a hobbyist's word. I have a friend, in quotation marks there, who cut his finger open when doing some conversions and accidentally got some toxic super glue in his wound. Don't ask me how it just happened. How long do I have to live? Okay, honestly, I think out of the three of us, I actually know the proper answer to things like this. But being all serious, it's not actually a bad thing. There's a lot of professions where people will actually use super glue just to seal their wound shut quickly.
Yeah.
For example, my father is a mechanic, and he used to tell me all the time that that's what they would just do at the shop. Because it's far more convenient. They would just grab some super glue.
Yeah, because it actually creates like a membrane layer, actually.
Right. Well, bear in mind that it is still toxic, but
yeah, non-toxic kind, good.
So don't drink it.
But unfortunately for Davey C, I'm probably going to say he has
his friend
to the end of this podcast. Oh,
sorry, I mean, obviously Davey C's friend. I'm probably going to give him about 4 hours. Give or take.
From right, wait for it. Now.
Now, yeah.
We're out from right now.
He was a good lad. He's going to be missed.
In 4 hours.
ABC's friend, obviously. Yes.
So by the time you guys are listening to this, he's probably dead.
Possibly. So, ABC will miss your friend.
Right.
Yes.
Unquote.
Yeah. Send us his stuff. We'll take it. Okay, so that's all we're going to do for this episode. We're already getting fairly long in the show. We're trying to get a little bit shorter, so these two-hour shows we've been doing. If you have any questions, comments, or fantasy army lists, send them into mwunion@gmail.com. You can send in your 40k ones as well. We'll still do them, don't worry.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You can send Lord of the Ring ones, we just don't know that much about Lord of the Rings.
Sit there and we'll stare at your animus and be like, yeah.
It's fine. Good stuff. We don't know too much about Lord of the Rings to help you there, so sorry. At least until Forrest comes back, whenever he does. We gotta have him back. Our Lord of the Rings expert.
He's teaching right now, so.
Yeah.
He'll be back in summer,
so. Yep. Also, be sure to join us at the Miniatures Wargaming Union, our Games Workshop fan site. Lovely community. You can join us at mwunion@gmail.com. It's mwunion.com. What am I saying? Sending people to our email address. So that's mwunion.com.
Epic fail.
Epic failure right there. mwunion.com. Please don't hit me. don't forget to subscribe to the Jaw Podcast on iTunes, and be kind. Please rewind and leave us a review. That actually helps the show very greatly. So just take 2 seconds, log in, leave us a review to say good show, bad show. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. Just be nice to leave us something. Yeah, but obviously it's going to be a fantastic review, obviously, if it does. Also, I want to thank Steve and Chris for joining us on this episode of the podcast. Before I get to that part, just stuff I want to mention real quick. I kind of just remembered last minute now.
The epic's happening. I don't know what's happening.
Epic stuff happening. So just to give a quick contest reminder, on our website we have 2 contests running. We have the Mini Wargaming's Warhammer YouTube contest. And we also have our Maker Logo contest, which are still up and running. Again, miniwargaming.com is still running their contest. You can check it out. It's on one of our pages, if not, it's on our forums. for the details on that contest, win yourself a nice $500 gift certificate to MiniWarGaming.com's online store.
Which is very nice, by the way. It's, what, like 10 or 20% off all that stuff around.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And also our Make Our Local contest, when where you won't win $500, but you'll win a $25 gift certificate to our lovely online store, MWU War Gear, where you can probably buy yourself some sweet swag. And again, it's so easy to enter. Just make something with our logo, either make a miniature or paint up something, or spell our logo with, spell our address with your
make mom. It into a cake.
Make a cake if you want to, yeah. Just do something creative. All the contest details are on the website, so check that out. Both contests end shortly. 1 week from today. They end next Friday. So you have till 29th at midnight Eastern to enter those contests. So don't forget to send in those entries soon. And was that it? Yes, that's
I think that's it.
Yeah. Oh, in case those who are wondering about the other stuff we're doing, such as the Forge, which is our new fantasy, not fantasy, but
roleplay podcast.
Our roleplay specialist gaming podcast, that is coming out soon. Actually, I think I'm not sure if they're doing it this weekend or something, so stay tuned for that.
I was talking to Gilles earlier. I think he said that they're planning on recording it on Sunday the 24th.
Okay, so again, that'll be very shortly. So stay tuned to the website for that if you're even remotely interested. And also, for those who are wondering about the Battle Bunker, what's going on with that, that is coming soon. We've been slowly working on it. It hasn't been a top priority for us. A lot of stuff has come up that we've been working on instead. Again, they'll be coming out shortly. It's probably going to be early March, to be honest. But we will see.
As long as that he wins the race, like war.
Yeah. Other than that, that's about it. Just want to give you guys just a quick update on that stuff. So again, thanks to Steve and Chris for joining us on this episode.
No problem. And
I'm glad to be back. It was, nice to actually have some time off like that and do other work instead of doing the show, but I missed it. So I'm glad to be back. Hopefully it won't happen again, but you never know. At least I have someone to count on. And I want to thank all you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next time right here on the Draw Podcast.
G'day, this is Jeff Carroll, host of Podhammer, the Miniature Wargames Union's Warhammer Fantasy podcast. Check out the latest episode for the latest tips, tools, tales, and tactics from the Warhammer world. Download the show from mwunion.com or subscribe through iTunes.
Blood for the Blood God!